Bullet Club.
Mr. Old School here with the Finn Fish from Las Vegas, Nevada, here to talk about Ring of Honor All-Star Extravaganza that was held on September 30th in Massachusetts. Finn, how's it going, man?
It's going fantastic.
Yeah. You know what? It was interesting because you are the host of Loot Chat here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. And we found out in the chat that both of us are actually huge fans of Ring of Honor as well. So I think it's cool that we do. I don't know if this is going to be like a monthly thing, a bi-monthly thing, however it's going to work. Maybe we'll start just with the pay-per-views and see how that goes. But I guess the first question is, when did you first get into Ring of Honor?
It had to be at least like, let me say like 3 years ago. I was into, started moving over to TNA, and I seen a lot of stars. I'm like, where are these guys coming from? Then, and also on the WWE, you know, I'm seeing a lot of guys coming up through the pipeline. I'm like, these guys are great.
Yeah.
Where are they coming from? So then eventually I found ROH, and it was just like, oh, ROH. It, to me, is just so much better. I really like watching ROH. So
that's ROH, yeah. Yeah, it's really progressed. I actually got into it around 2012. On this network, when it first started, I wasn't a part of it, but PK Punk had a show with AH Walker. They called it the Independent Spectacular. And that was the time he was on the Weekend Review too. And he was talking about all these indie feds, and he brought up Ring of Honor very frequently. So I decided to check it out myself. And at the peak, like, we were watching, I had but 9 or 10 people in my house. Every month we were watching the online pay-per-views. Back in the day, they didn't have an actual pay-per-view deal with a provider. So they were just streaming it online. And it was early days, man. Like, the lighting was absolutely terrible. The stream would crash constantly, audio sync issues. And it was just me like, freaking out, you know, with my friends watching it. But the one thing that stayed true, despite the audio issues, despite the lighting issues, despite maybe management issues, was the wrestling. The wrestling was always amazing. We're talking about how many people have come out of Ring of Honor, Fish? Kevin Steen, El Generico, Sami Zayn. Yeah. I believe Rollins came out of ROH.
Tyler Black.
CM Punk came out of ROH. Daniel Bryan came out of ROH.
Claudio Castagnoli. Cesaro
came out of ROH.
Yeah, almost all their champions have been in ROH at one time.
It's insane. It's kind of like the unofficial farm system for the WWE, even though they won't acknowledge it. The amount of talent that left and that the amount of talent that has now currently in and on the roster is unbelievable. And it's really cool to see them come full circle, because I stopped watching them for about a year when they stopped doing the online streaming, because they admitted they couldn't do it. They didn't have the resources, the capacity to do it. So they kind of just went to video on demand, releasing it the next day. And then once they started coming on pay-per-view, I actually went to a friend's house who had cable, because I'm a cable cutter myself. And we watched that. That was kind of cool. But he's in a really small apartment, so it doesn't really work. And just recently, Fish, I don't know if you use the Fight app.
I plug that thing every chance I get, yes.
Okay, sweet. Okay, so you're familiar with the Fight app. And you can actually watch the ROH TV for free on Fight.
Yes.
They do TNA pay-per-views, and now they do Ring of Honor pay-per-views too. So for the cord cutter, you just use this app. You can have it connect to your smart TV or your, in my case, I have it connect directly to my Roku box. And it just, you know, you do have to pay the pay-per-view amount. But in my case, you know, if we're 4 or 5 people, that's not too bad. It's $10 each. So
yeah.
We've been watching the pay-per-views recently. This one on Friday, we had a group of guys, and it was just so much fun. Okay. Do you want to get started? You want to go straight into it, or might as well?
Okay,
cool. All right. So, yeah, like we said, it was from the Memorial Auditorium in Lowell, Massachusetts. To me, it looked like, I don't know, but 2,000 fans, 2,500, because at the beginning, they showed the upper deck, and it was pretty much full from what I saw. Would you say it was around 25, the attendance?
Yeah, I'd give it that.
Okay, cool. Opening match was Bobby Fish, and he was originally in the tag team with,
Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly, thank you. They were really good. The Dragons, what were they called?
Red Dragon.
Red Dragon, there you go. And so he's taking on a local boy, Donovan Dijak. And from what I'm told from my buddy Carp, he's been in ROH for a couple of months. And this guy looks like, if you've seen Rocky IV, this guy looks like Ivan Drago from Rocky IV.
Yeah, that's what his interest looked like when he came down. That's exactly what I was thinking. He's wearing the red, like the Russian red. Yeah. He had a Russian flag, a regular flag with the red and the Dijak were in the gold. Yeah. And he's a tall guy. He's
6'7" or six. Yeah, I think he's about 6'7".
Yeah.
And he's coming out with Prince Nana. Prince Nana has been in ROH forever. He's like the go-to manager guy for the heels, you know, the Bobby the Brain for ROH. And yeah, this match I really enjoyed. It was a good opener. It definitely was not the best match on the card, but I thought it opened it up. And although this Dijak guy comes off a little bit green, I could see a lot of potential for him. Actually, my buddy Carp was like, WWE needs to sign this guy. Ah, he's fucking amazing. I'm like, okay, maybe give him a couple years in ROH to get there. But I see a lot of potential, especially he's got that WWE look too.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't have that ROH look, that gritty look. I think he has a really goofy look on his face. But
yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. He looks, but you know, he's just so massive and tall. So that wipes that look off his face. If he was a shorter, he would be a goofball, but I'm lucky he's a tall guy.
Yeah. Do you see him like getting signed to a developmental contract eventually? Do you think he's got that WWE? I mean, the guy can obviously work. He looks a bit like he can buff up a little bit, but apart from that, I mean, I think goofy look aside, I think they can kind of make this Drago gimmick. I think it would work for him.
Yeah. You know, keep him not talking, just a smirk on his face. He's pretty good being NXT. They have that big cast that is that tall as well.
Yeah.
So they try to keep tall guys away from each other. So you put him in the other brand, he'll do right. All right.
Yeah. So Fish won this with by submission. He retained his title. What did you think of this match? Did you like it or?
Just because of his name, but I'm a big fan of Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
I like his moves. He has not the move set, but he has the mannerisms of like an Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
He's shaped like Chavo, but he has a move, you know, he does a little moves here and there, but he's strictly like submission based. So yeah, it was a good solid match to, you know, keep as a TV title.
And it's cool too that they separated him and O'Reilly, because I think both of them, they don't need to be in a tag team. They're definitely singles material. O'Reilly, we'll get into his match later, but definitely reminds me of like a Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, kind of small guy, but can work really hard and do mat style, in the air style, like an all around guy. So, but I think it's cool that Fish is kind of getting a push here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Next match. This was a four corner survival tag team match for the number one contendership for the tag team titles. First up, Kenny King and Rhett Titus. And like, I fucking hate these guys. It's nothing against Kenny King. I think they're holding him back big time because they're in this stupid angle. They're called the cabinet or something. Like, it just seems like 80s bullshit. It's not Alexander. Caprice Coleman, yeah. I think, is their mouthpiece. Like, the guy's good on the mic, but I'm like, this is the best you can come up with.
It is funny because they're still the All Night Express. They party all night, but they're part of a cabinet, which should be more conservative or. It's confusing, and that's my boy Kenny King. I'm like probably the only Kenny King fan out there, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Kenny King.
Oh, and that's the thing, like in this match, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it, but I think he was kind of either he was mailing it in or they just didn't give him enough time to showcase himself, because this guy is by far the most athletic guy in this match. Like, I'm just looking at it on paper. So when you want to like show this guy off more, I found like he was just kind of in the background and they weren't showing him off at all.
Yeah. I didn't understand that. I was like, so the match to me, it didn't pick up until the middle of the match where it started getting good.
Yeah.
And then except for when, like, it was obviously when Kenny King was in there, you know, you see more athletic moves, but the feud wasn't with Kenny King and anyone, the cabinet. It was with, you know, the other people in the match. So that the match wasn't supposed to be focused for them. It was just a number one contender's match.
Yeah, yeah. But I find like if I was booking this match, I'd put Kenny King in the front. It was him and Titus against Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana, which seems like this oddball combination. Versus War Machine versus fucking these big ass dudes who can fucking move. Shane Taylor and Keith Lee. Okay, yeah. These, no joke, these guys are like 500 pounds. And
they could fly.
They could fucking go. Like, you look at them and I'm like, okay, these guys are going to be garbage. Like, how the fuck are they going to move, you know? Like,
yeah.
But, and you're right. Like, this match was really slow. And then it just seems like they all took a fucking shot of Red Bull or something. Like, okay, now we got to turn it on. And fucking, like, spot. Ending in this suicide dive, or is it a flip by Keith Lee? This guy's, like, no joke, 450 pounds. And he dove over the top, did, like, a Roman Reigns dive.
Yeah.
On it, like the entire house, like I thought the neighbors were gonna call the cops when the pop that we did was just like, how the fuck is this possible? And then the guys from War Machine, this guy did a flip and like nobody cared just because the fact that Keith Lee jumped over the rope like he did. Like,
yeah, he got on the top ropes and did the flip, so no one really is like, yeah, we just saw a big guy leap over the ropes and you got to climb.
That's it. A 400-pound guy from the apron just leap over the rope. It was insane.
So,
yeah. Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana win this, but like they were not the stars of this match. Like, to me, it was Shane Taylor and Keith Lee at the end. It was, what the fuck? Like, this is insane. These two guys, I don't know if they got to drop weight. Who cares? Like, the fact that they're that big and they can do that kind of move those kind of moves and work as quickly as the smaller guys is like an absolute shocker. So,
What I liked about this match is like when the All Night Express and Colt Cabana and Dalton Castle were wrestling, Keith Lee and War Machine, like, forget this. We're going to go after each other. They got off the aprons and they started fighting outside the ring. Yeah. So I was like, that keeps the feud going. Like, you think, like, hey, I don't like that guy over there. Who cares? I'm just going to whoop his ass. Who cares? Let's go. Yeah. Let's go do it. In other organizations, they just yell at each other back and forth.
Yeah, no, it was more of a, like a realistic thing. I think that's cool. It resembles, as real as you can get for gimmick wrestling. You know, they do have the code of honor. They do work a stiffer style. It's more like a Japanese style. So it's kind of cool to see that. And that's why I love this next match. This is probably the match. This is by far the match of the night for me. Actually, you know what? No, it's I just thought of the ladder match. But this was like an absolute surprise for me. Dragon Lee versus, is it Kamitachi?
Yeah, I think that's how they pronounce it. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, if you've seen the Will Ospreay Ricochet match, watch this. Because it's not obviously not as good as that, but it's very close. This is like an absolute like back and forth, nonstop, fucking just spot after spot after move after move. And apparently from what I read, actually the finisher that Dragon Lee put, he botched it. I didn't know. It's apparently called a Phoenix Plex.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he botched it, but he dropped him on his fucking head. Like,
I know. And in attempts that he was going for it, Tamatachi kept reversing it. And it was some sick reversals.
God. It was like, it was like the chain wrestling was good. The moves were, they're crisp, solid. Every move was fucking perfect.
And what the announcers were saying, that these guys faced each other down in CMLL.
Yeah.
And Dragon Lee had taken Tamatachi's mask. That's why he used to wear a mask. And then he doesn't wear a mask now because Dragon Lee took his mask. So that was pretty cool, giving us history of who these guys are and where they're from and why are they such, know each other's moves so well.
Yeah, you can see these guys must have worked before because, like, I mean, you're getting Fight Forever chants. They're just the crowd was living it. And especially in my place, man, we were just, for us, it was like, except for the main event, like one of the best matches, man. I can't even do it justice. You have to watch it just to enjoy. This is how, like, for me, this is how I want to see my wrestling going forward. I want to see matches like this. And for it almost kind of spoiled the rest of the card for me because, you know, they had like Kyle O'Reilly matches, okay. The Jay Lethal, we'll get into those more in depth, but would you agree with me that it almost kind of like it was too good to be that early on the card?
Yeah, but that is more of the, like, they wrestle the Lucha style, but that's the way Lucha works. It's just wherever you are, you just try to, you wrestle your best. You don't hold anything back just because you're lower on the card.
Yeah.
So that's what the feel I got. Now, you know, I like my lucha, and I really enjoyed sure. this match.
Yeah, it was like, wow. That, if that's what is happening in Lucha Underground, I have to watch Lucha Underground or CMLL. Like, that's wow. I was blown away. After that, it was Kyle O'Reilly against Hangman Page, and I found this did not deliver. Like, there was good mat wrestling, but I've seen O'Reilly better, and I don't know if just because of Hangman Page is just not as good as the opponents he's faced before. Maybe he missed a step, or maybe it was just because of that match before it, but I was not into this match at all.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kyle O'Reilly. I do not like Hangman Page. His character is just like a follower. He's been going from group to group, being part of the Decade, the Decade, and then going with Silas Young, and, you know, just yeah. moving around. And I don't like his character. I don't like his moveset. I don't like him at all. He has a good look. It's just the way he carries himself in ROH. I don't like that. But it was an okay match. They actually had a purpose for the match in the finish.
Yeah.
But the match was not. Man, the match wasn't good. The after the match was great because it set up more stuff.
Yeah. Silas Young, not a fan. Like, I get his gimmick, but I don't find it fits well with the current roster and the current style.
Yeah, I started growing on. He used to do, like, the internet stuff. Like, he had his own little segments mm-hmm. where he would just bully. Like, he's talking about bullying his nephew and stuff like that. But I find every feud he's in, he loses. So you really can't be a bully when you don't really, you know, be a man's man. And he loses every feud versus, you know, ACH or even Dalton Castle. So his gimmick doesn't fit who he is. I do like him in teaming with the Beer City Bruiser. That's a funny pairing. But other than that, I don't find him. I'm with you on him.
What do you think about him getting a world title shot? Because he apparently won a 25-man
the Honor
Battle Rumble, Royal. Yeah.
I like it. It gives someone else a shot. Now you would think the outcome, if you were in a different wrestling organization, you think the outcome would go into his favor. So you think, okay, Silas Young is the number one contender. Now a face may have to win this match so he can go after that title. But that's if you're thinking WWE or TNA.
No, because it would. How can you do Silas Young and Adam Cole? Like, it seems like an odd pairing. But maybe if it's a one-off on like a house show, you know, not the end of the world. But yeah, there's better guys, but you know, I don't want to be biased. Anyways, next match, six-man tag, Briscoes and Toru Yano, who's like, he looks like an Asian version of Bo Dallas, but he's like a comedic wrestler. And they took on ACH, Kushida, and Jay White. Like, for me, this match was a bit of a toss. Like, ACH saved it. If anything, he was the guy that was obviously performed the best. This Toru Yano guy, like, yeah, he's funny, he's animated, but he's fucking terrible. Like, he wasn't taking moves properly. He's fucking slow. Like, I find he spoiled the match for me. Do you agree?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of his matches, but I heard of him. And this guy is just, I know his gimmick is to be a goofball, but
yeah.
I don't understand the pairing. It's not even an odd couple gimmick with the Briscoes. It's just they needed someone to wrestle. I don't know. Mark and Jay, Mark Briscoe is, you know, on that side, but he gets serious. This character never gets serious. He takes off the turnbuckle. He's going for low blows. He's hiding in the ropes. I don't get the gimmick.
I just didn't get the mix with ROH. He seems more like a guy who'd be in Shikara, because Shikara is more like a fun, easygoing fed. Like, ACH and Kushida, you can see they're trying their best with these guys, especially with him. But yeah, they're just a step quicker. You know, the Briscoes have been there forever. They've got their niche. That's cool. But I find it was a waste of ACH and Kushida. And Jay White, I don't give a shit. But yeah, I mean, this was a bit of a throwaway for me. If you do watch it, enjoy it for the acrobatics of ACH, and Kushida's awesome.
Kushida, I like Kushida's gimmick. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, it is.
So if you've ever seen Kushida, you know, runs off that Back to the Future gimmick. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, time splitters.
Yeah, yeah. So I do like him. I never seen this Jay White character. You know, he's a toss up. He's you know, more or less whatever at this point. But and the Briscoes do what they're gonna do. They stayed relative to what they were going to do in the match anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame because they're a type of gimmick that the WWE would never touch them, just because of the Confederate flag and all this shit. Like, it's just a massive don't touch. So ACH, Jay White, and Kushida win this. Interesting pairing, but. Next up was Jay Lethal and, I don't want to botch this, Tetsuya Naito?
Yeah.
Tetsuya Naito? Okay, cool. This was a solid match. And apparently these guys, have they fought before? I'm trying to remember. If they haven't, now he's the number one contender, or he's going to get a shot at Naito's title. He's the IC champ.
Yeah.
This, I'm liking Lethal's new look too. He's got the shave head now. I don't know how long he's had that, but I find it really suits him.
Yeah, he was going bald, and he got the braids. Well, I'm like, oh, man, come on. You got to cut it. You got to do something else. And I do like it. I just don't like they dropped what's her name that was with him? Taylor Hendricks.
Yes. Oh, yeah, she was good with him.
Yeah. Truth Martini was great, but then you know how he transitioned over. Yeah. Taylor Hendricks was just – she was a ticket.
Yeah, no, she was great valet for him. But even on his own, the guy is awesome. Yeah, I'm liking the shaved head look. It suits him really well. And him and Naito had a lot of like false finishes, good spots. I love his the cutters he was doing, like off the post.
Yeah,
and, like the, and his lethal combination, the lethal injection. Like you could tell these guys are seasoned guys. They know what they're doing. They work the match to a perfect pace. I found. And it was just like a normal, but it's that ROH kind of style that you can count on for the main event or near main event matches. And for me, it was like an 8 or 9 out of 10. It was definitely a solid match. Jay Lethal wins this. Let's get your thoughts on the match overall.
I like how at the beginning of the match, like Naito, was he beat some, not Justin Roberts, but the announcer? Like they're announcing that he.
Yeah. He fucking boots him. Yeah, whatever the fuck his name is. I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, because then they got him to play the replay just so Carino made him play the replay of him booting the announcer, which is awesome.
Yeah, these matches are great. And I haven't seen really, I'm not into New Japan, but Naito, like, he wrestled out in CMLL, and he holds his eye, you know, he always holds his eye open.
Yeah, that's kind of, and I love his sidekick. His name's Evil.
Yeah.
Like you obviously know where this guy stands, you know. Like he comes in, his name's Evil. He's obviously a bad dude, but no, that's I love that type of Japanese like over the top stuff.
Yeah, but he like apparently because he holds his eye open because down in Mexico they're making fun of his slanted eye. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he holds his eye. That's why he holds one eye open because these people make fun of, you know, he has slanted eyes, so it makes his eye normal. Oh, that's it's a dig. You know?
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know what the hell that was. I thought it was just some random thing. So yeah, Lethal wins this by lethal injection. And yeah, if they fight in Japan, I'm see if I can get access to that match. What I found interesting was the booking of the heavyweight championship. Do you agree that it was better to do it before the main event?
Yes. Oh, the people. I feel I would have walked out. This match. Oh, wow. This match did nothing for me. I did not care either way for this match.
It was, No, I agree. It was, I was a little disappointed on the result of it because these two guys are awesome. Like, I've seen Elgin, probably one of my favorite matches I've ever seen was him and Davey Richards for the belt. That was, like, just mark-up moments all the time. So I'm a little curious why this kind of fell short. I'm not saying it was a bad match, but maybe it was because the other stuff on the card was so good that this had to be like amazing to be entertaining, but I don't know what it was. Maybe you can shed some light, but yeah, it kind of fell short a little bit, I thought, as well.
Michael Elgin has some spectacular spots that he does, and I feel on the other end, to me, Adam Cole's great.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has anything spectacular to pull out. I don't think he pulls out great matches against great people.
Yeah.
It's just to me he was the problem. Michael Elgin did everything right.
Oh, really?
Taunting him, his buckle bomb, selling the knee, selling the leg, and Adam Cole just went for the same set of moves that he does. So that was for me, but I got bored when he was on offense because I knew his spots and his spots weren't going to change. They weren't spectacular enough for me. That's because everyone else was, even Jay Lethal, he's hit, you know, the cutter, different positions.
Yeah.
Everyone else is hitting their moves where Adam Cole, he had to hit that move in that particular spot. So there was no like surprises that he was going to hit that Canadian destroyer that he does, because he has to get up on the ropes and then jump over and do it. So that's why it didn't, dawn on me that much. You know, that's why I didn't like that match that much.
Yeah. I would agree with that, actually. And I didn't think about that before you mentioned it. But yeah, there was no unpredictable like moment like, oh, he did this reversal into this, or there's no surprise. It's true. I would definitely say that he is over, you know, like this Bebe and all that. Like, the crowd gets into it when he wrestles. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not taking anything away from the guy. I think he's great. He has a look. He has a charisma. He has everything. It's just he didn't come out with the rest of the Bullet Club. He, you know, Adam Page could have been there, you know.
There was something missing. I agree.
Yeah.
And on to the main event. And if you haven't seen any other Ladder Wars from Ring of Honor, dude, what are you missing, man? I mean, I think the last one was Steen and Generico. So it's been a while. They don't pull these out too often. But when they do, they go all out, man. And this was, when I saw this, when I was looking, deliberating whether I should buy it or not, I see, okay, the Addiction, the Young Bucks, and the Guns. And I'm like, okay, no, I have to. There's no way I have to watch this. So a couple things that stood out for me. I mean, the Young Bucks were the Young Bucks. These guys brought it. They're entertaining as hell, over with the crowd. All kinds of great spots. It really reminded me of like the TLC matches with all the spots they had. And, you know, they had tables and everything got involved. One thing too surprised me was Christopher Daniels. I found ever since he's been in Ring of Honor, he's kind of mailed it in. Maybe just because he's getting older, he's playing more safe. He threw that out the window. This match, he's like, fuck it. He got the Crimson Mask. He got thrown out like onto guardrails, tables. One spot near the end there, I think he legit messed his leg up when he fell on the ladder.
Oh, yeah. His leg was stuck in the ladder for a minute there.
Like, that did not look good, man. And if one person, if like all of them came out unscathed, I'd be shocked. Because somebody's got to have some major injury. Like, it was absolutely insane. Spot fest galore. The Motor City Machine Guns, like, I found they were kind of an afterthought. It was really the Addiction and the Bucks for me that really stood up in this match and, like were able to just go to that next level.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. And the only reason is I feel that way is because I've seen a lot of the Addiction matches. So I know their moves, they're what's coming up, but then they did those like more super moves. Like when they do the springboard and the other guy catches them with the cutter, they did that to the outside of the ring.
Yeah.
The Young Bucks did that, the Indy Taker off the top of a ladder.
Yeah.
And then the Motor City Machine Guns, I don't know what their super move was. You know, I don't know if that was their more spectacular move because I don't see them do any, you know, super moves already. So. But they were good. They, you know, they foiled a lot of stuff. But if it was just the Young Bucks and the Addiction, I would have been happy. I would have been happy either way. So
yeah, I mean, just the amount of spots, man. I mean, Daniels hitting the best moonsault ever, getting like a Fallen Angel chant, which was kind of cool. They had a spot with like four different shots onto a table on the outside, like either a choke slam or like a moonsault or a 450. It was just like you could see they really took their time. They planned it properly. The Meltzer driver too off the ladder. Oh my God. Like, it was awesome. The Bucks win. They're the new champions for sure. These guys are like main event money, man. They're the most over team that's never been in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing, though.
I agree, because I find, you know, maybe with the current climate, they do well. And I've always, you know, I remember being guilty of saying, oh, Generico will never make it. Steen will never make it. He doesn't have the look. And look what happened. So never say never. But I find like these guys just doing their indie thing. I think they're making enough money, so I don't think they really need to do it. I like they're doing it on their own terms.
Yeah, like you said, never say never. I think when it's time to wind down, because why wind down unless you have to wind down?
Right.
That's what WWE makes you do. And if you're making money like they are, there's a promotion out here, FSW, and they had the Young Bucks there. And the Young Bucks are the main event. And then everything gets changed around. The whole card gets changed around for the Young Bucks to come out here and to wrestle. So they are a big deal. And talking to, you know, people in within the promotion, they get their fair share of money. They get to sell their t-shirts. They get, you know, why give that up when you don't have to work a date or you don't, you know?
No, for sure. And I mean, I think it's just in general too, like there's people who like to be to work for themselves or work for somebody else. I think it's the same idea with wrestling. You know, they want to be independent contractors, live by their own terms, do whatever booking they want. And if they can do it and make money, like, good on them, man. That's awesome.
But so who do you see coming up next for, you know, TNA or either, you know, WWE?
You mean like a part of the ROH roster, you mean?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Who's coming? Who do you think is coming out next, and where would they go? Where would they
Okay. Who would they grab? Yeah. Adam Cole, I think, is one of. He's got that look, that style. He's good on the mic. I know you say he's predictable, and I agree, but I think he would fit well in that WWE style. Elgin, too, I think could work in that style. Again, not as good on the mic, but he's that big guy. He can do power moves. He's like kind of like Cesaro power, where he just deadlifts everybody and stuff. He could be interesting. The Bucks, if they can get them, you know, would be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
If they could get them. I'm trying to think who else. They got a lot. Lethal. I would like to see Lethal do a run, too.
Yeah.
I think it's the time for him to move over, if he can. I don't know what the money situation would be. From what I heard, he stayed with ROH because the money was roughly the same. So maybe he feels more comfortable staying in ROH. But I'd like to see him do a run, too. How about you? Any other names?
Yeah, I'm like, his name just escaped me. The Kingdom guy, Matt Taven.
Okay.
I don't know, something about that guy. I like his look. He has a, you know, goofball look, but I think he's a pretty good look, fit in TNA even, because, you know, they picked up his partner, Michael
Bennett. Are they still going? I heard they might not be able to afford Bound for Glory tonight.
I heard. Did you hear about that? Yeah, I heard they did, but.
Got it? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know who put the funding in? Was it Corrigan again, or
I'm not sure.
Okay,
but if they can go, I do like them teaming those two back up again together, because I don't like Bennett at all. I find Bennett the worst. But when Bennett was with Taven, I found him like absolutely just spectacular. I can watch them all day. Cool. And someone like, and I don't want to say ACH, because like everyone is ACH now in the WWE.
That's the problem, eh? Like, you got Alexander, you've got Rich Swann, like those two guys are—they're kind of like that same gimmick where they're not great talkers, but they're great spot guys. And I'm concerned that ACH would kind of fall just in the crowd. Like, I don't see him standing out.
Yeah, so
I've never even heard him do a promo, so I don't know if he's any good.
Yeah, so I would probably pick him for a TNA person, because, you know, WWE has, you know, they already have enough black people there. So.
The quota has been filled.
Yeah, so I'll you know, send him over to TNA for, you know, something good.
You know, it'd be kind of cool, Dalton Castle, if he kept that kind of gimmick. I think it might work.
Yeah, I mean, that I seen ROH comes to Vegas now, which is weird because they don't go anywhere else on the West Coast, and they had two shows this year, or three shows, but two pay per views. And, wow. And I went to a few. I've been trying to go to as many as I can, but they sell out. The first time I tried to buy a ticket to an ROH show, I was hesitant because this was the first time being in Vegas in like 10 years. So yeah. I called, and I figured I know the guy's voice. I forget his name, but he answered the phone. I'm like, hey, I want to buy a ticket to ROH. What happens if you cancel my ticket? What happens if you guys don't come? And he assured me that, you know, you won't get refunded. But through all their history, they only had to cancel one show. And it was because of, you know, a catastrophe had happened.
Right.
And then then the next day I bought the ticket, and then I finally went to my first ever ROH show. I think it was the 13th anniversary, and it was spectacular. But I got to take a picture with Dalton Castle, but I didn't want Dalton Castle in the picture.
That's hilarious.
I wanted the boys, you know, how he does that thing with the boys, but this is my first show. I didn't want to be, hey, I don't want you.
No, sorry, Dalton. Can you get out of the way?
I want the boys. So, and Dalton Castle's over. He's funny, you know. He doesn't play, I like his character because he doesn't play sexual with the other wrestlers. It's just with himself and with his boys.
Yeah.
So it's not towards anyone else. So no one else has nothing to be offended or, you know, get upset. And he can play heel too.
Yeah.
So, that Dalton Castle's something else.
He's got that flamboyance. He's over the top. But what I think makes him really unique is he's got great mat wrestling. So he's not just like a gimmick, a flamboyant gimmick. You know, he's not like a Rico. He can actually work, which is cool. So that's why I like that contradicting style of like this crazy mat wrestler. And he's like over the top. He's got like dudes fanning him and shit. Like, it's so random. That's what I like about it. And he's mad over it too. So
it's yeah, yeah.
So overall, what would you give the rating on 10 for this pay-per-view?
I'll give it a 7.
Yeah.
That Young Bucks match was match of the night.
Yeah.
It's just the Adam Cole match and then whether the match was earlier, that Adam Cole match and then
Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly. Future yeah. Shock. Those guys, I don't know. Those didn't do nothing to me. I expected more out of them since it's a pay-per-view. But, yeah, so just a solid 7.
I would agree, too. It wasn't a flawless pay-per-view. They had a couple of sleepers. But I find, like, if you're kind of on the fence, I mean, obviously there's ways to access it. You don't have to pay the $54. But if you're curious, like, I think it was 45 Canadian, 34 American, that you can find on the Fight app if you want to order it. If not, you know, maybe talk to your more internet educated friend. They might be able to help you out getting access to this pay-per-view. But if you're on the fence of whether you want to watch it or not, I would say definitely do it. There's a lot of gems. I would give it a 7.5, just a little bit higher. But the matches that were great were really great. And especially, yeah, the Dragon Lee Kamatachi match, the main event, the Jay Lethal match was good. The six-man tag had near like maybe skip the first half and watch the second half of the match, but it was that definitely had some gems. It was worth watching. We all had a blast watching it, so I definitely recommend you check it out. So I guess we'll end this here, and I'm not sure when we'll be back, maybe for the next pay-per-view or ROH TV. Who knows? If we get a good reception from this, we'll keep doing it more. But Fish, where can we find you online, and final thoughts?
You can find me online. I'm on the Twitter. It's just FinFishSCU on Twitter. Host of, one of the people part of the new Trending Topics.
Brand new Trending Topics Network.
The brand new Trending Topics Network. My show is Lou Chat, where I chat all about Lucha Libre wrestling, or particularly Lucha Underground. And I'm starting to do a little thing where I, using the Fight app, I watch free wrestling on there. And I'm going to cover those and just how it looks and how it feels and should you watch it or not. Nothing about the wrestling, just about if the show is any good, the lighting, the structural, the fans, the wrestlers, just what it looks like, not what the wrestlers are. So I'm going to start that little gimmick up on Lou Chat.
Cool. Yeah. Talking about the lighting, man, ROH, their lighting rig, it's improved like leaps and bounds. It is so much better. They can actually do replays now. And I think they're taking the time. Obviously, the pay-per-view networks must have went to them and say, listen, you got to upgrade your shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good to see them do it, because, like, this pay-per-view for me was flawless. I had no technical issues. And for someone being just haunted by those buffering issues and all that, it was so cool to actually have, like, a, you know, you had to pay for it. It was 35 American, but, you know, we got some quality out of it. So I'm happy to see that.
Like, not judging any of the wrestling, the pay-per-view went off good. Great camera angles, zooming in and out. The mat looked good. You know, I don't like wrestling. When I watch wrestling, I don't like when the mat looks all, like, cut up and dirty.
Yeah.
I find that just turns me off. So
the venue was well set up, too.
Yeah, the venue was perfectly set up for ROH. The screen, the entrance way they come out from, that big old screen back there now.
Yep.
No audio issues. Sometimes that happens in ROH pay-per-views. None of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, just on that it went off flawlessly.
It's perfect, too. It's got that kind of ECW fan base. So it's got that indie but still major league feel. It's a nice mix. I like it. Okay, so I guess that's it for us. Thank you very much for listening. And if you like it, get back to me at TheMounty on Twitter. Or oldmovies.net on Twitter, or Pierre DeMousse on Twitter. Or if you're in the GroupMe chat, let us know if you like it. And that's it. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.